It's going to be great because Ben Dempsey is here in person. He's been cooking this message for almost a year. And so thank you, Ben, for being willing to step out here today. Oh. And come on up and give Ben a welcome. We're going to listen to you, man.
Okay. All right. Hello, hello. Is this on? All right. Well, I have to be honest, I was hoping there'd be about half as many people here today. I get nervous every week that I have to lead worship, and this has been about 400,000 times worse. You know that nervous knot in your stomach? I've had it since about Wednesday, so I'm excited to funnel that into hopefully a good message and then eat again. That would be nice. So, let's pray. Lord, I pray that you will be with me and move your Holy Spirit through me, Lord, and I pray that you will let my words be delivered with gentleness and love and respect today, Lord, as you intend them to be. I pray that you soften hearts and just let this message be delivered well, Lord, in your name, amen. Oh, all right.
So far, so good.
Thank you, thank you. It's all downhill from here, guys. So, yeah, I'm not the most eloquent speaker, so if I do ruffle some feathers or say the wrong thing, please feel free to talk to me afterwards. I would love to clear things up. So, you know, I don't want you to let it fester under the skin if you get upset. And also the Pastor Eric disclaimer, I had nobody in mind when I wrote this sermon, no one person, so don't feel attacked or anything, because I was not thinking of specific people when I wrote this. All right, so as you can see, the name of this, Don't Be a Symbol. Oh, cryptic, right? You like. And so we live in an interesting time. Full of turmoil and kind of crazy out there, and Christians are kind of getting branded in a bad light. Admittedly, Muslims have it much worse than us, if you want to look in that way. But Christians still have kind of a bad rap. And why is that? The next slide here, we've got this little thing: the views of Christians, or this lovely song, Amazing Grace. But the list that will be coming up is non-Christians and Christians alike were asked what they think of when they think of Christians, what words come to mind. And so we've got closed-minded, loving, judgmental, caring, hypocritical, strong political views, generous, and insensitive. So can you guess who were the Christians that were asked up here? The loving and the caring and the generous, and that's great that we think that about each other. But what's being lost with the world? And this list, an interesting point, is not something that not a poll that I grabbed online or anything. It's people around here that I asked. So these are people that we see on a regular basis, that I see on a regular basis. And so it's not a problem far away, not somebody else's problem. It's our problem. And these are the views that we have to deal with ourselves. 1 Corinthians 13:1 says, "If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal." And as that list shows, that there seems to be a lot more cymbal clanging than love being out there and why is that, and how can we remedy that? Well, I've got some ideas for you this morning. So the first question I would have is, where do you center your faith? Which is to ask, what is most important to you when it comes to Christianity? Not all beliefs are on the same level. We go a couple bullet points in. Which means there's Jesus, and he died for us. And that's number one. And then underneath that is everything else. So it would be secondary beliefs, in my opinion. And so do you get hung up on those things? Because the main point is Jesus dying on the cross for you and me, and that's the only belief that gives us life. That's where our salvation comes from. So that's what makes that the primary belief. And everything else we tend to hold on to and become more argumentative about because we just tend to do that. That makes us pretty unappealing. Krishana, in the good old days, she went to Bethel University. And she had a class called... Oh, yeah, I got to show you something right after this. She had a class called Creationism and Evolution in a Christian Perspective. I'll get back to that because I have to show you this mess that I'm working with. So a lot is made of what Eric preaches from, his big stack of papers that are nicely typed out. And Paul preached from some nice note cards. And I'm preaching from the scribblings of a madman, essentially. So you'll have to bear with me as I try to flip through some of these things. All right. So, creationism and evolution in a Christian perspective. And like on the first day of class, the professor laid out evidence supporting why he believes the creation story in Genesis is metaphorical and not literal. And he laid out all these different things why he feels like that. Now, what would you do if you were in that class and how would you feel? Would you stop talking to that professor? Would you question his faith? Would you just shut down, be offended? Or on the other side, if his evidence was convincing and he was able to convince you that that this should be a metaphorical interpretation instead of a literal one, then would that devastate the rest of your faith? Because in my mind, that would be a secondary belief, and holding on to those secondary beliefs like that and that tightly can disrupt your whole faith. If you are holding too tightly onto the secondary things, it can make the whole thing come crashing down on you. So a question I would ask if you were getting upset about that would be, does your worth come from a relationship with Jesus or the rightness of your beliefs? There's a couple bullet points down, and so you need to ask that, because when your worth comes from the rightness of your beliefs, then we begin to be abrasive and argumentative, and all of the words on the list that aren't flattering that we saw earlier, they tend to come out when we need to be right, and that's the way it's got to be. And that tends to happen if we're holding too tightly to the secondary things. So, 1 Corinthians 2:2 says, "For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." This is Paul writing to the Corinthians, and I mean, this is the main point. I resolve to know nothing except Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's all you need to know. That is where you get life. That's where your salvation comes from. And so hold on to that tightly. And the other things you can debate them and discuss them with other people and not be offended if they bring up great points against something of that secondary belief, and you'd be like, oh yeah, well that's great, I still believe because I know that Jesus Christ died for my sins. And if it's good enough for Paul, who I think is one of the biggest studs in the Bible, I think it's good enough for me. And so another question I would have for you is, would you see yourself as an obstacle or an ambassador for God? 2 Corinthians 5:20 says, "We are therefore Christ's ambassadors. As though God were making his appeal through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God." So when we become Christians, we are now God's ambassador. We represent God. And we're representing our Christian brothers and our Christian sisters, and our actions and words and all of that reflects on God and how other people see God if we claim to be a Christian. Which leads me to a fun point of mine, and kind of a pet peeve, is on Facebook. I've got a lot of friends on Facebook that claim to be Christians, and I don't think that they're not Christians. but they will post something that is pretty hateful towards a certain group or a certain kind of people or whatever. And then the next post would be, share if you love Jesus and like if you love Jesus and all this other stuff. And so essentially people are seeing, like it's a, in the same breath, you're saying a hateful, spiteful thing, and then you're praising God. And a news flash, Facebook is a public thing, so everybody sees it. And so Christians and non-Christians see your stuff, and what non-Christians are going to see that, and what else could they associate with you and with Christianity and with God than the hate that you just spouted before you thumbs up and like that. And that's just an example. There's plenty of other things out there, but the Facebook thing I see quite often, and just like, oh, there's a mountain I'm going to have to climb now after that to try to reach anybody who like saw that. And so polarizing yourself on secondary issues may discredit you when you want to talk about Jesus and taking such a strong stance. And I'm not saying that you have to tiptoe through the tulips and you have to be a doormat and you can't, you know, take a stand, but take a stand in love, because that is how you're going to reach people. That's how you're going to be the most effective in your issues, is if you address it in love and not with hate. And it's just a better way to go about it, in my opinion, I think. 1 Peter 3:15. And I'm going to have to slow this puppy down because, guys, we're going to be getting out of here pretty fast if I don't pump the brakes a little bit.
No worries.
So...
Yeah,
that's right. So if you have plans for 11:35, today is the day to have those plans. All right. So 1 Peter 3:15. But in your heart, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and respect. So it's important to know what your primary reason is, what the primary reason is, and the primary belief. And then you need to know why you believe it. Because if you don't know, if you don't have a good account of why you believe, then why would anybody else be convinced or want to listen to you about your beliefs if you are just pretty like, eh, you know, I don't know, other people do it, and so that's why I do it. And so that's not really a great or convincing argument. You don't have to have all the head knowledge. Like, you don't have to be knee-deep in apologetics to be able to give an account of why you believe. It can be as much as the feeling you get when you're worshiping or when you're having your quiet time, and just the stirring of the Holy Spirit. It doesn't. You don't have to be a scientist about the whole thing. It's okay to just let it be a feeling. But you need to know why you believe. And I would love to be able to stand up here and give you the reason why you believe, but it has to be you. You have to know why you believe. I can't tell you why I believe, because it's probably different than why you believe. So that's a key point. Know why you believe, and gentleness and respect. Key points, because the gentleness and respect is all about how, you know, it's listening and just conversing like a person. Paul and Eric have talked about that when they go to Washington. Is ask the person, why, what do you think of that? And then listen. And they will tell you, but if you're willing to listen and respond and not have an argument ready to jam right back at them and just wait for them to stop talking for a second so then you can shoot them back with all your bullet points, it's really going to open up the dialogue. It's going to create a relationship where you can converse about these things a lot more freely, and you'll be a lot less aggressive, or seemingly less aggressive. So this year, I think we should have a New Year's resolution of curbing the public opinion of Christians out there, because we have a very important message, and it's sad to me that that sometimes gets tainted by all the other secondary stuff that people get really passionate about, turning people off of the main point. So, in case... Oh, this is so bad, guys. I'm so sorry. Then, so, let's just recap. Clanging cymbal. We don't want to be it. have love for one another and converse with them about these things. I've got a friend of mine. We discuss our beliefs quite frequently, and I try to use these different techniques of, I guess, just being a human and listening to him. So, like, we'll discuss it, and he'll throw things at me that seemingly has gotten people riled up in the past, because he gets this little grin, and he's like, oh, here it comes, Ben's going to explode, and... I'm like, no, if that's true or false, it doesn't really matter. So just kind of deflate the whole possible tension thing. And you can see he's kind of surprised. And then we converse about our beliefs easier, and that opens the door to more conversations later. Because if I would have exploded at him that first time that we ever talked about, you know, like, no, that's definitely true. Then I'm pretty positive we probably wouldn't have any more conversations about that, about this topic, and might not even be friends. And it happened to me in Uruguay as well. Towards the end of our trip, our translator came up to me and he was like, "You're a believer, aren't you?" And I was like, "Yes." And then in my mind, I was like, "Okay, what is the best 20-second sermon I can lay on this guy? Because I'm going to save him right here. I'm going to fly him back, and he'll be a part of our church, and this will be great." but I didn't hammer him with a sermon real quick. I said, "Yes, I am Christian, and I am a believer. And what are your beliefs, and what do you believe in?" And that opened the door to having this conversation. And we had a really nice conversation about heaven. He was really curious about what I thought about heaven. And... we are still friends now, and we still talk now, and I feel like that door would have been closed if I was more aggressive and just laid it on uberly thick and not gentle or respectful. And so it does work. It does work, guys. I've been out in the field, and I've tried it. So, yes. Let's... try to curb this public opinion by knowing what is the primary belief, which is Jesus Christ and him crucified, and holding loosely, like, you know, and it's okay to have secondary beliefs. I'm not saying that you can't, but keep them underneath the main point, and don't get so fired up about things that aren't the main point. Because it can ruin your chances to deliver the main point later and have those conversations. And it's a really fun thing to converse about all of the different things, to have like a conversation. But what if that's metaphorical or literal in the creation story or whatever? I enjoy those conversations. And so, and you kind of miss out on that if you're getting defensive and angry and locking horns all the time. So... here it is, guys. All laid out for you, in case you forgot the formula. Primary belief, Jesus Christ crucified. Secondary belief is everything else. So it's like pretty easy, so to help you remember. And then when you want to take a stand and you want to be passionate, take a stand in love. And I believe that if we start doing that, and I know that I'm kind of preaching to the choir today, but if you have friends that you want to share this to, these are like the three things, and I think we can start to really move away from all the negative words that list had and start replacing them with all the good ones, and we can get rid of the closed-minded, judgmental, hypocritical, insensitive, and replacing them for the opposite, which I think is important because we have a good message to share, and it's worth sharing. It saves lives, and so I hate to see it tainted because we've ruined it before we even get to say it. So let's pray. This is going to be about a 20-minute prayer, y'all. And went by super fast. All right, guys. Lord, I just pray that we would stop being cymbals and gongs if we are in our lives, Lord. And I pray that we start attacking things with love and gentleness and respect and just effectively spreading your word, Lord, and being passionate about the right things, Lord, and getting people, other people passionate about the right things. And I pray that you'll just be with us as we attempt this and go out and try to do this. And it's a thing that takes effort every day. And so I just pray that you'll be with us on that walk. I mean, I know you will, Lord. Thank you for that. In your precious name, amen.